We thank thee for thy love and for thy guidance. I pray that you would continue to help us. Help us to know what we should do, what we should be, that we might appreciate one another, that we might love one another, and in turn love thee. Pray, O Father, as Brother Curtis stands before us this morning, that thou would give him wisdom and understanding in the things that he says, the thoughts that are in his mind. Thou would take his mind and use it as I would have it to do. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Reading from the book of Proverbs. That's good. Reading in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's always a prayer in my heart, and I'm sure. Red light's on.
We're good to go.
Okay. I'm not a stranger here, and I feel like I do have brothers and sisters in the bond of the gospel bonds that exist, as we've been influenced by our peers, our families in the years that we've grown up, and we've been under an influence of guidance. And I don't hesitate to say that in my background in life, there was quite an influence in the people with gray hair that visited us as kids growing up, and they left their influence. And to recognize the power of the Holy Spirit is not a new thing with me. I have been blessed and felt it many times. And I do know that the books that I'm going to make reference to is product of holy men, humble men, used by God, and recorded in an expanse of time. And we have it with us today. And if these two books don't embrace each other and not received as the truth, then as I stand here today, I'm an imposter. And so, with my life's experience, I know that God's Word in these two books embrace each other. And the truth, as recorded in each one of these books, what Christ was quoted to have said, we don't find any different wording. We don't find any different admonitions. We don't find any different instructions of life. And there's many promises by God that's recorded in each of the books. And we know that He's the Holy One of Israel, the Lion of Judah, the Almighty God, same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He said to His people back through the ages of time, His admonitions, His blessings, His power has never changed. And so I can't make anything new. I can only look at the records and find what was recorded how great his influence was on humanity. And wherever God works with people, Satan's trying to get his crowbar and offer an opposition. I think most everybody that has received this responsibility and accepted it in faith and hope and in gratitude for that great influence that's selected us to carry the responsibility of the written word. And all of us have made a lot of notes over the years and over the prayers, and in that interim of time that this responsibility has been on us. And I have to say and make confession that in this responsibility, there was times when I didn't take it too serious. And there is consequences when people know the truth, don't want to abide by it. There's not a blessing in your favor. And I have stepped in the face of God. And yet, as other men of old, the prophets, they've all made their mistakes. And yet God's mercy gives them a way out. And if it wasn't for his grace and his great sacrifice, we wouldn't have the promise of eternal life. And we wouldn't have all the blessings for the righteous. You know, it's been quoted a lot of times. We talk about the bottom line or the truth of the gospel that will make you free. And the other different churches of the day will make that statement. But they don't ever give the answer, free from what? If you abide in me, you know the truth. You're free, can be free from sin. You won't be condemned. And if we prevail and endure to the end, how great is that reward? We as parents have had and do have responsibility of our offspring. And back in the younger days, that was a great responsibility. And we always had, as parents, to tell our children, don't do that. It might not have been inspired by what is in the books, but we did have their welfare at heart. And we loved them. And God is love. And so, he makes us a promise because of his love. And he loved the world, gave his only begotten son. And it was ordained to be so, that man might know the truth. Christ suffered on the cross, shed his blood, brought about the power of resurrection, wherein the grave is not the victor. Brought about the eternal judgment, plan of redemption. And so these two books is full of all those instructions, and it marks on the pages what Christ himself stood for. He endured all things, and he suffered. He was a man. And he done it out of love. Not because we were worth anything. But he gives us that hope. And in our songs that we sing have been inspired. Hold fast to the rod of iron. Anchor to your soul. And how important is our soul? You know, the world at large, how many denominations, how many different churches? His church, their church, our church, fellowship, the sisters of sisters, and all these things. But we know, as is written in the Book of Mormon, Christ is quoted, if it's my church, it'll be in my name and have my doctrine. That's simple. If a person buys a new appliance and it's kind of looks complicated, and you wonder if I can make it run. So what do? You get the instructions. And if you're smart, you read them all, maybe twice. And how many times have we read the instructions of life? Many times. Did I turn this thing on? Okay. I don't have a feedback, so I guess I'm okay. I'm going to, you know, the writings of the apostles, we've got a man's name here named Peter. He was one of the apostles. And as the Holy Spirit moved him, he had something to say. His heart was right. He wanted to spread the truth to the rest of the people because he loved them. He wanted to give them some instructions. And here's what Peter has to say. And he didn't get it out of a book. God didn't write his sermons for him. But the Holy Spirit inspired him with the truth. And here it is, 1 Peter. I'm going to read the first chapter all the way through. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. He's making a background of truth and making a statement. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now what he's saying right here is to people that haven't heard anything yet. And so he's making reference to Christ dealt with people previous. And through me and the Holy Spirit, I have this to say to you. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Lots to be required here, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, to be revealed in the last time. He's telling you some of the things that has to be in your existence and mind and soul. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And it's been written, that, as we'll find out, that temptations, if you don't yield to them, That's the evidence that you love God. And as you resist temptation, you're brightening your path back to God. That the trial of your faith, we have faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's your faith. This is the reality of your position before God. Receiving the end of your faith unto the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now there he's making reference to prophecy that has been given. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people say the just walk by faith. And we have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter. It's available to everybody. But a lot of people say, yeah, I believe the Bible, and the Holy Spirit really talks to me. But yet you find their way of life from day to day as they deal with their family and their neighbors, they don't understand it at all, what Christ established. You know, it's the Holy Spirit is from Christ. Can we say he was holy? I say so. He was holy. And I'm going to read right here. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. If Jesus was here today and he started talking to us, his choice of words would be a lot different than just the ordinary guy on any subject. He wouldn't multiply words. And he wouldn't just be a vain babbler. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man his work, every man's his man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. And that's what we're doing here. We're passing through time. We're just kind of like the grass of the field. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And we know that's true. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, Peter, what he has said right here was from the influence of the Holy Spirit. We know that. And when I read out of these books, and I read out of the Book of Mormon, and read what has been written there, and it gives an invitation here that if you have the opportunity to read these words, pray to God if they be true. That's a way to get answers. Put your trust in God and you wait on Him. I'm going to read chapter 2 and then I'll make some reference to some other things here. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know, as a father, seeing my wife bring my sons into the world, and she being a mother full of love, she gave that young baby the milk. And that's the same kind of love that God has for us. Pure love. And you can forgive me for this, but I've seen a lot of blessings in my time. And it was a great blessing to me, and certainly to the mother, when she provided that warm milk to the baby. And when he got all that he needed, he was happy. And any baby that's happy after he's had lunch, he closes his fists and he relaxes. He's had it all. And I've seen that so many times. And that sincere milk of life is the word of God. You know, in the scripture it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the evidence of your love, you pay your tithe. And if you do those things that God said, pour out all the blessings, your barn can't hold it. Be plenty. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And it isn't the fleshly sacrifices or material or idols. It's a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And you mortify the deeds done in the body and put them away. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And this is by way of recognize a prophecy. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And we know that's Jesus. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Everybody has this opportunity. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and as pilgrims, obtained from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works. And that's our influence to the world. We all are an influence to someone most of the time, every day. We're an influence. You know, the world influences, and everybody has a world view of what's around me. As a child, the world was a lot of happy flowers, a lot of trees, and a lot of things growing. And the world today is an environment that, as people hear its description through the media in all areas, right away, you either believe what's being said and you form a view of the world. And if we can study the Scriptures, we can have a real strong picture of what God is, who the Eternal Father, His Son, and the Holy Ghost. We can understand that they are real. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto the governors, or as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. In other words, we have civil law in our country, and we have leaders, we have responsible people. And as these laws were given and become laws, where did they get the background and the foundation of good and evil to put in our civil laws? From the Holy Bible. And how many Bibles are there today? They all try to say the same things. People read them and write books on them. They just keep learning and keep researching and keep talking and saying this. Here's my book. Boy, here's another man's book. Boy, he really knows what he's talking about. We don't have to go anywhere and read these other books. We got all this information right here. And we need to hearken to this information. Or unto governors as unto them that are set by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the service of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. You know, we have a president of the United States. We have leaders. We have big courts and judges. And we try in our democracy find out people that can qualify and rule our nation and keep it solvent. And we were established and influenced as a nation in our early years, I'm quite certain, through the influence of God Almighty. And it wasn't until 1956 that I forget which president ordered a decree or proclamation that on our coins it said, "In God we trust." That was in 1956. Took a long time to do that. And now, even the sacred book that we relied on to form our civil laws, the Bible, is being outlawed. We can look at the coin and say, "Yeah, in God we trust," and sure want to take care of it and use it. But the whole substance of existence as a nation, founded on God's principles, and the book that was responsible that they relied on, is no longer politically correct, or whatever they want to say. So this world is slipping away from God. And here we are, just a few people. But I think our convictions and our hope, we rely on the rod of iron, the doctrine of Christ. It doesn't vary nowhere. He set the example. Honor all men, love the brotherhood. You know, people talk, make cartoons and talk about our leaders doing crazy things and condemning them and complaining. Yet, it points out here just whether we think they're good or bad, if they have that responsibility in leadership, dignitaries or representatives of our government, we should respect them and not degrade them or defile their name and talk evil of them. You don't give evil for evil. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief and suffering wrongfully. We know that there's been a lot of times as a kid growing up you felt persecuted and condemned and as an outcast when you went to school. I grew up in that kind of a situation. I got in a fight every new school I went to with somebody because I didn't like what they was doing to me. But I finally learned it didn't pay off. Fighting don't get you nowhere but a skin nose. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even unto hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Well, you want to get right behind him if he's stepping in mud while stepping the same mud. Follow his steps is what he had to say and what the examples that he gave. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You know, when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was thrown in the fire, their faith was perfect. They knew who they trusted was holy. And in their view of the promises of God in the face of that fire, I can't quote them, but they said that if God, whatever God wants to do, he can save us or he can let us go. But their faith was in God. Let him have the prerogative of his love. and their faith. The only thing that burnt was the cords on their wrists when they were tied. They fell off. And they were holy because God was holy. And His Scripture is holy. And when people think that they were guided by the Holy Spirit, and you see the evidence, you know, there's all kinds of people talking about the spirit of anger, the spirit of truth, the spirit of this. There's just all kinds of adjectives to qualify that, the spirit. You can't get bitter water and sweet water out of a well. And I don't care how you speak, that the Holy Spirit is your guide when the results of what you're doing is evidence that that's not the case. You're a liar. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd, the bishop of your souls. You know, Peter has more to say. I guess I'll read chapter 3. If it was worthy to be found, recorded, and given to us down to this day, I'm not going to skip by it. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. In the way the liberal women today, well, that guy, he's a brute. I ain't going to believe that. Man, he's a man. They just got all kinds of things to rebel about. But the first thing that when people join and become one flesh is love. They need love. Nobody twists your arm to say, yeah, you're going to marry that guy or else. You made the choice. Yeah, I'll accept you. I love you. Words are easy. Evidence is the thing that you got to have. You got to have that love that endures. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of their wives. Just like I said a while ago, people influence each other. And here's just an indication that this might be the case. You can be 50% of the bond and the conviction of righteousness and show evidence that you love Him, love God. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it be not that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing gold, or putting on of an apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Comforter, meek, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rending evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. You know, you can't hammer something into a man's heart. You got neighbors that you feel like that you love them and you want to give them some information, maybe save their soul or whatever that may be. But you can't do it to open up a book and say, yeah, this is what it means right here. You better invite him with an embrace of love, with meekness and fear of God, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject over him. I have some notes right here. You know, truth. This is what the dictionary says. Conformity to knowledge, fact, actuality, or logic. Fidelity to an original or standard truth is most commonly used to mean correspondence with facts and verity. The bottom line, something accepted as unquestionably true. One of the first four books of the New Testament, we talk about the four gospels, the gospels of truth. You know, we come to this house to worship. We worship and then we show our love and our allegiance to God. We sing songs that have been inspired into our hearts. And we feel the spirit of truth and love that's been penned by these people that wrote the words, and then the ones that put the music to it. Music is a strong influence upon the heart and soul. And you can have good music or you can have bad music. It depends on the motive and the inspiration from whence it came. Praise God, an expression of warm approval, ardent, humble devotion, adoration, extolling God for his miracles and tender mercies. And the scripture says he's a God of miracles and tender mercies. It's almost endless of the adjectives and the things that describe the love of God, his great power and his mercy. Praise is proclaiming his excellence. and repeated often and respectfully, a tribute given formally and decisively. Decisively. Walking in the Spirit of Christ. If you do, through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, mortify the deeds done in the body, in the flesh, after the flesh, you shall live. Continue to follow after things that make for peace. The armor of righteousness is peace, joy, obedience, and endure to the end. I'm going to turn to page 441 in the Book of Mormon. Chapter 17, and read verses 69 through 84. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings. That means you ask for instructions, and you want to know what his answer is going to be for the things that are in front of you, the tasks, the maintenance of life, or whatever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, that he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if you do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. And now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the thing which our fathers call a ball. And we're going to get a lesson right here. Or director, or our fathers called it a liahona, which is, being interpreted, a compass, and the Lord prepared it. And behold, there cannot any man work after the manner of so curious a workmanship. And behold, it was prepared to show unto our fathers the course which they should travel in the wilderness. And it did work for them according to their faith in God. You think we're not traveling the wilderness in the world today? And do we have the instruments or the admonitions as to how to go? And behold, it was prepared to show unto our fathers the course which they should travel in the wilderness, and it did work for them according to their faith in God. Therefore, if they had faith to believe that God could cause that those spindles should point the way they should go, behold, it was done. Therefore, they had this miracle, and also many other miracles wrought by the power of God day by day. Nevertheless, because those miracles were worked by small means, it did show unto them marvelous works. They were slothful and forgot to exercise their faith and diligence, and then those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journey. If we lose faith and trust in God, we're going to get lost. Therefore, they tarried in the wilderness, or did not travel a direct course, and were afflicted with hunger and thirst because of their transgressions. And how many of us don't have any transgression? And now, my son, I would that you should understand that these things are not without a shadow, for as our fathers were slothful to give heed to this compass, now these things were temporal. They did not prosper. Even so it is with the things which are spiritual. For behold, it is easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point to you a straight course to eternal bliss, as it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which would point unto them a straight course to the promised land. And now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. O my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way, for so it was with our fathers, for so was it prepared for them, that if they would look, they might live, even so it is with us. The way is prepared, and if we look, we may live forever. And now, my son, see that ye take care of these sacred things, yea, see that ye look to God and live. Go unto this people and declare the word, and be sober, my son. Farewell. There's many, many scriptures to be read, and it takes a lifetime to digest and understand and receive the blessings of the truth that are written in these two books. And so we need to continue to follow after the things that make for peace, joy, and we have our helper, the Holy Comforter, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. And that's the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. God is holy. Christ is holy. His words are holy. And it behooves us to be like Him, to be holy. And so, we put on the armor of righteousness and endure to the end. And if you love me, keep my commandments. Thank you.
God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All glory to thee and to thy Son, Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the scriptures that have been written and preserved for us. Maybe sometimes we not quite understand some of the words, but we know that thou art our salvation, that thou art God, and that through Christ we can have that salvation. And as we grow older, we know that we are closer to that time to us to our homes. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
And I turned and went to my car and checked into my room. And you know what? I didn't even feel naughty. Didn't even feel badly. Because I know, just like you folks do, whose birthday we're celebrating. And if you got anybody else in mind, that's all right. Because He gave you the right to. You might want to rethink your position. May God richly bless us all, I pray.
And trust and faith, steadfast, don't waver. He will deliver what He promises. But there's much required in life to earn your salvation and work it out. And it's just not handed over without some meaning and good works. So I appreciate your